أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. صدق الله العظيم. Yesterday we discussed the first part of the surah, that after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had destroyed the army of Abraha and this supernatural feat, the news of it had traveled to Syria, to Yemen and the surrounding areas of Makkah, Mukarramah, the Arabian Peninsula. And because of that, people began to have a great amount of reverence and honor in their hearts for the Quraysh of Makkah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of these two journeys that they would undertake. And then Allah says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Then worship the Rabb, the sustainer, the nourisher of this house, that is of the Baytullah. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say Rabb al-Alameen, the Rabb of the entire universe. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of the entire universe, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified Hadal Bayt because it was by this house, the Baytullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given honor to the Quraysh, and they also had taken a keen interest in looking after the Baytullah and becoming the custodians of the Baytullah. And it was by the Baytullah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them the honor. So hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term Rabba Hadal Bayt. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very briefly, what is the term ibadat and what does ibadat entail? So the ulama have explained a very, very simple concept of ibadat. The first aspect of ibadat is that ibadat is not confined and restricted to our musalla or to our masjid or to our tasbih or to the Baytullah. But ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a 24-hour matter. That wherever we are, we have to be in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are in our homes, then also we have to be in the ibadat of Allah. And there the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be that we have to be guarded, we have to keep away from guna, we have to keep away from sin, we have to watch the way we speak, we have to watch the way we interact with people. In our businesses, there is also the ibadat that we have to see what is halal, what is haram, what comes to us in a halal manner, what comes to us in a haram manner. Whatever is haram, we need to say no to. Whatever is halal, we may indulge in it. And then thereafter, whatever contracts we have, it is part of our ibadat to fulfill those contracts. Whether they are contracts with our own employees, whether they are contracts with our employers, whether they are the contracts with our landlords, or our tenants, other business parties, etc. So all that is regarded as ibadat. Wherever we are, we have to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when we look at the term ibadat, the ulama have explained that ibadah actually means to humble ourselves. That is the first aspect. Second aspect is that we keep the azmat and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. And third is, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we glorify and we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first aspect is humility needs to come into our hearts. We humble ourselves for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Not only do we humble ourselves when we go into ruku or when we go into sajda, but throughout the entire course of ibadat, we humble ourselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly is the azmat of Allah. The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to come into our hearts. Not only the greatness of Allah, but also the greatness, the ta'zim of the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We perform salat now. So one is this, that we're supposed to have humbled ourselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly is this, that the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be set into our hearts. And then the hukam of performing salat, that also is greatness supposed to come into our hearts. And ask ourselves, why have we performed salat? Are we performing salat because we are just automated, that because it is just a normal system and routine that we have to read our Fajr salat, or are we doing it for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if these three things have been found in our ibadat, then it will enhance our ibadat, and subsequently it will take us closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is the humility, one is the ta'zim, and the third is the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ulama like Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has written that if we can make ibadat like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that ibadat be made here, then that ibadat will be complete and total. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on, and Allah ta'ala speaks about another quality of his, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ, that Allah that had fed you from hunger. You were in a state of hunger, you were impoverished. Before Hashim had devised that plan, the great grandfather of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before that business plan was devised, your people were in hunger and starvation. Your people were not by the means, that is the people of Makkah Mukarramah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it into his mind, he devised this plan, and now wealth started coming into Makkah Mukarramah. So obviously when that wealth came, the hunger also left, because now food and grain was coming into Makkah Mukarramah. So that Allah that brought you into a state of satiation from hunger, that Allah that brought you into a state of affluence from poverty, that is the Allah Allah is asking you to worship, that Allah that had granted you all that. And secondly, وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ, your journey towards these two places, to Syria and Yemen, was a journey that was filled with different types of fear, different types of onset of the enemies attacking you, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed all that. Allah warded, Allah changed the hearts of your enemies against you. They now became your friends. They began to respect you. And that all came from Allah. That honor and that dignity came from Allah. That rosy and that wealth came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now it is only befitting that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you're supposed to make shukr, and you're supposed to offer this thanksgiving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala uses two terms, and Allah ta'ala speaks about two ni'mats of Allah, at'amahum min ju' wa amanahum min khawf. And if you look at throughout the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us all the time, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah will certainly test you, and the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. One is that of fear, and the other is that of hunger. That is always going to happen. That there is always going to be insecurity. There is always going to be the fear of hunger and starvation. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes care of this. In one ayat of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, some ulama say, particularly about Makkah Mukarramah, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّا يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His Qudrat, through His Fadl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala graced them with the sustenance from all sides. The sustenance started coming from Syria, it started coming from Yemen, it came right to Jeddah. But فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ, that when they began to make kufr and they began to become unappreciative of the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed it. Then khawf came, فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Hunger started coming to them. There was famine for a period of time in Makkah after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had left. And number two is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the fear into their hearts, and that was an azab from Allah, because now they became fearful also of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslims in Makkah Mukarramah. Some ulama have stated it is not a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or it is not in the Quran, but some ulama have stated that when someone has the fear of hunger and one has the fear of the enemy, then one should read the surah abundantly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.